These are the Keshi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Keshi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Hello, everybody. It's time for another edition of the Keshi Tapes. I'm John Hewlett.
I am Favaz. Hi, John.
Hi. This is edition 49.
Yes. How about that?
We are going to go with David Lee Roth again.
We did Dave, I don't know what numbers, but I think we did Dave sometime in February or something like that, an interview I did. This is yours.
Yeah. So some people might be saying, well, you did David Lee Roth already, but every interview is different.
Yeah.
They're most often talking about totally different subject matter. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter that we've done them in the past.
And the other thing is, too, anybody that we've repeated, they're really good interviews. So they're entertaining. They have something to say. And certainly Dave is very entertaining.
Absolutely.
With everything he says.
Yeah. And this was
That's why you do the Daily Roth on the KC Morning Rock Show.
If you ever get a chance to interview David Lee Roth, never turn it down. Now, I think this was about 2006 when he was in preparation of releasing the Strummin' with the Devil, the southern side of Van Halen.
It was
him in Nashville with some Nashville artists, musicians, doing country Van Halen stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember ever even listening to it, to be honest with you, because I don't remember having any interest in it.
Well, I remember what you just said, Strummin' with the Devil. Mm-hmm. I remember that song kind of, but I don't remember anything else. So hopefully he's going to tell us what's on it.
Well, let's go. Ready?
All right.
Here we go. David Lee Roth, 2006-ish. And joining us on the phone is David Lee Roth. Hi, David.
John, how are you today?
Good, good. Everything going well with you?
Oh, everything's extraordinary. I'm calling you from Nashville here because we're strumming with the devil who's writing these titles.
So you're going to be out on the road again here pretty soon, huh?
Yeah, you know, we got this record coming up. I decided, you know, let's do, something that's, I'm hesitant to use the word unplugged. Unplugged always sounded like something you might have to do to Uncle Bob.
Yes.
Later in life. But we did an acoustic, it's an acoustic kind of country bluegrass thing of all the classic VH tunes when I was singing with the band. And I'm down here in Nashville rehearsing with one of those bands because we're going to take it to the Jay Leno show, and we're going to be on The View and Arts and Entertainment and a whole bunch of other people on the TV set here.
So it wasn't a tour, I guess.
Well, but I do remember him being on TV now that he said it. And I think it was the Tonight Show with Jay Leno was where I saw him with the band.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there was no tour for this, though.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Where would he play? Little clubs.
Although now
it would be cool to see Dave in a club like that.
You know, timing is everything too, Favaz.
Right
now, I bet that would go over pretty huge. But back then, because Van Halen was still, possibly an entity,
right?
And
it's really not anymore.
Yeah. So in any potential way that you could probably see them doing their music or Dave doing their music now, even in this form, people would probably go see it.
Yeah, yeah, I'd go.
Yeah, but back then I didn't think there was much interest.
So.
And it's going to be a tribute to those Van Halen songs, and that's it? Nothing else?
Oh, we did. I sing on several of them, and there's half a dozen different bands. The musicians who are on this record are all the session cats down here in Nashville who play on every country song, in the backgrounds of every gospel tunes, all the bluegrass stuff.
Uh-huh.
These are the faces that, back up all of the, those superstars. You know, when the Dixie Chicks or Willie Nelson or Chesney or somebody, they head out on the road. These are the cats usually who are, working with them here. They all grew up on Van Halen material. There's no old guys in here. Everybody in here is basically in their 30s, in their late 20s and stuff.
Uh-huh.
The fiddle player, I think, is 24 years old. So, if you play a string instrument or, you wear your blue jeans on stage, don't tell me you don't know Van Halen music.
Yeah. So. Well, what made you decide to do this, David?
I've been seeing a lot of records around. Tribute albums, I'll call them, done by a variety of different artists. I saw one that was Sly and the Family Stone. Each song was done by a different artist. I saw one that was for Brazil, 66. It's a familiar item these days.
Mm-hmm.
And Van Halen music is as familiar as My Country Tis of Purple Mountains. Everybody knows how the song's supposed to go. Everybody knows how the lyrics. Everybody knows even when, here's where Dave goes, whoo!
Right.
So when you transfer it into a different medium, okay? As opposed to, let's just play it the way it is on the record, but on an acoustic guitar. Let's take it, I says, let's take it to a whole different medium, and you'll be able to discover things about the music that you hadn't known before.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like, you know your wife for 10 years, and then one night she confides in you that she's got this great, colorful sexual history she never told you about.
Okay.
All right, first of all, I didn't like that. When I found out about...
Your wife's sexual history?
Well, no, not my wife, but somebody in the past. It put a damper on me. I thought I was Joe Cool, and then she told me, I was like, womp, womp,
wow.
Sad trombone.
Wow.
But what I was getting at was that I guess because Dave has copyright for these songs, he can just do them, because there's no way that he would have gotten permission from Eddie and Al to do these songs. I mean, I'm thinking the only, because you have to have permission.
Yeah.
Especially if you're recording these songs and Dave's going to sing, he's got to have, you know, some skin in the game. I don't know how else he would have been able to do
this. He must have gotten
this.
Permission. He had to have gotten permission.
I don't know, man.
Because they all are credited in writing these songs.
Right. So if he is if he's credited as a co-songwriter, does that give him the permission just to say, hey, yeah, I co-wrote that song, I can play it however I want?
Boy, I don't know. I think he's still got to get some sort of permission from Alex and,
I don't know,
and those guys.
Maybe did you ask him here?
I don't know. Let's find out. That would have been a good question.
Yeah.
And if I don't ask it, thanks for making me feel bad. Well, you know, since this...
I see that happen to you.
No, I'll just be preparing myself for it the day it does happen, though.
It's like, honey, I know I really love you in the head.
Hey,
Why didn't you tell me before we moved?
Well, with the acoustic versions of songs like that, I mean, are you going to still be able to get the high kicks in and stuff like that?
Well, I don't know if there's a whole lot of high kicking, you know, this kind of music is... super critical, you know, in terms of the music. You know, when we rehearsed, we did a...
Maybe some boot scooting, the no high kicking.
I just hate that term. Boot scooting. I just hate it.
Well, I hate country.
Yes.
Country schmuntry. We sound like crap.
I don't like the bro country that's today, but like the older country, I like George Jones and Dolly Parton and everybody, older.
Yeah.
But
there's a country artist, Kacey Musgraves, that I love.
Yes, it's because she's hot, John.
Not just because of that. First of all, her voice is just velvet. She's just so smooth, but she's a little smart aleck and smart as can be, and writes really, really down to earth, punch you right in the face sometimes songs.
Well,
you
know? There's also somebody named Maren Morris, who I think you would like, who's super, super hot. But she sings really well, too. And I believe she writes her songs.
Yeah.
And she's really good, too.
Yeah. Kacey writes her songs, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, back
to digress.
Into our country desires.
There are nine of us rehearsing last night at one of the local studios here in Nashville. We don't use any microphones.
Mm-hmm.
We don't use any amplifiers. We don't use anything that's electric in there. And you really have to be, you got to have your stuff.
Damn, I should have asked them. Maybe I do if they use washboard.
Wired tight, mm-hmm. Or you will sound white.
We're speaking with David Lee Roth. David, a quote here in the media information that I have from you says, you say, my roots were always kind of country. That surprises me.
Well, growing up in Newcastle, Indiana, all right, if you've ever seen the movie Hoosiers with Gene Hackman, then you know exactly where I grew up. If you've ever seen the movie Breaking Away about the bicycle racer in Bloomington, Indiana, this is the part of the country that I grew up in. And in the late 50s, early 60s, the only thing that you would hear on radio commercials, the only thing that you would hear on television commercials, all four channels of it, the only thing that you would hear being played over the radio at the local hardware store, which was also the auto shop garage, which was also the soda fountain, was country.
Yeah.
Only heard, you know, either flat picking, or you heard standard, or you heard bluegrass.
Isn't it hard to believe that someone like him came from that area of the country?
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the South. It's Indiana. But still, that's, you know.
Yeah, pretty mundane part of the country.
Newcastle, Indiana. I don't even know where the hell that's at. Do you know where
Newcastle?
That's at?
I don't know, but
I know John Mellencamp was from Bloomington.
That's right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know if it's near there
or whatever. It's that part of America.
We're speaking with David Lee Roth. David, we're running out of time here. I got to ask you a couple other things. First, the Van Halen boys—they've been kind of critical of any kind of possible reunion with you and them. Is that never going to ever happen again?
Well, it's not exactly rocket surgery, is it?
Yeah.
I'm saying Dance the Night Away at 9 o'clock in the evening, and I'm saying it at 9 in the morning, and it's equally not difficult. I think.
Did you get that?
I think he's going to make a point here.
Okay.
The problems that are with this band go well beyond politics. I'm hoping that what's wrong with Eddie is not as wrong as it is with Axl Rose. Hey, that was a good way to say it.
There you go.
Hey, but this is proof right here, I think. He didn't get permission from anybody to do this because he didn't even speak in terms with those guys.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. Because he is a co-writer, he can just do it. He can just take that song and go,
I guess
I can do it.
And also your experimentation into the business of radio, into our business here, with replacing Howard Stern, do you regret that happening since it didn't work out the way you wanted to, or what?
No, it was superb. You know, at the end of the day, and it's a good point that you bring up here, is that I sing for dinner. I'm a song and dance guy, and I always will be. Anything else I do will add up to, hey, I just heard Dave on the radio. Want to go see his show? Hey, just saw Dave on the TV set. Want to go see his show? That's how Frank Sinatra did it. That's how the Rolling Stones do it. That's how Dave does it. And, again, at the end of the day, if I was on radio for a week, great. If I was on for a year, great. I really had no vision that, you know, that anybody thinks, well, suddenly I traded my job in, whatever. Also, it was just there. I was just there as a diversion. I think the fellas who are, you know, in the job now, they were cutting their contract for a year. Everybody in the business knows. And they needed somebody with thick skin and a big sense of humor to follow Howard Stern for a few months. Came to the right place. I ain't the best looking, but I'm the right tool for the job.
Always the entertainer, David Lee Roth. David, thanks for taking some time with us here at KC Radio in St. Louis, okay?
I know KC very, very well. John, have yourself a great, great afternoon. Thanks.
All wow.
Right. He's
I'm not the best looking, but I'm the right tool for the job. I am going to use that line all the time because you should too, because it pertains to us.
Yes. Ain't the best looking, but the right tool for the job. And being right tool for the job can be taken a couple of different ways as well, you know? Wow. I tell you, every time we get a chance to listen to that guy talk, I do, and I can't turn him off.
Yeah.
You know, and no matter where he shows up, he doesn't show up enough in my mind. You know, what is he doing anymore these days other than just, you know, he's got that business going on right now. What's that business he's involved in? Oh, doggone it.
I don't know. But, I mean, Van Halen is, like you said, is nothing. He's the one that likes to keep his name out there. Eddie and Al do not care about what happens, you know, but Dave does.
Yeah, and remember for a while there, wasn't he, tattoo care products.
Oh.
That's what he's into right now.
That doesn't sound like it would be that lucrative, but, you know, hey.
He says it enters the
room. He's had a lot of, I know, he's had a lot of tattoos done in Japan. He's very much into Asian culture, Japanese culture.
Yeah.
And I think that's what started it.
Yeah.
All.
Well, we wish him the best no matter what he's doing right now. And keep that guy going. Keep him talking, because when he's talking, we're benefiting. I mean, look right now. This is two podcasts now from David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
And there are other interviews I know that are lying around here somewhere that we're going to be finding in our archives.
I may have one more. It's funny how you don't remember, but, you know, the one that we did before, I totally remember. And this one, you just sprung that one on me today. I was like, let's do Dave.
Yeah,
come
it just
on.
Came out of nowhere. Yeah. I just happened to come across it. So there you go. That is episode 49 of the KC Tapes. I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan or on Instagram. I'm Johnny Hewlett.
You know, I'm not going to promote my socials because I don't think it works. Socials work, but I don't think promoting it here. So I'm not going to promote mine. You can promote yours.
All right.
So
that's the difference between you and me. I'm a social media maven, and you are
a social media whore.
And you don't understand the technology. So anyway.
All right.
Here we go. Audio AMF.
Johnny U.
See you, buddy boy.
All right.
The KC Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.